coming and being with us this morning in our class. Well, this morning, we're continuing in Exceed. Don't just meet your spouse's needs, exceed them. And this is the last specific lesson. Next Sunday, we're going to do a summary lesson about these needs and how we can exceed in meeting them as we have learned about them individually. And I've been studying for this lesson this week, and I really thought about asking the guys to put an old-fashioned pulpit on this stage. This is just a little lectern, but if you've ever seen kind of an old-fashioned pulpit, it's huge, it's usually in solid wood, and you can almost hide in it. And there were some portions of this lesson that I thought I would feel more comfortable teaching inside something than just kind of standing out here like this. But ladies, my name is Gabe, and I'm your friend, and we're going to have some fun today, the best I know how, all right? And talking about exceeding his need for an attractive wife. Genesis chapter number 2, if you would turn your Bibles there, Genesis chapter number 2, and we'll look there in just a moment, Genesis and chapter number 2. An Amish boy and his father were visiting a mall, and they were amazed by almost everything that they saw, and especially these two shiny silver walls that would move apart and then come back together again. And they were watching that for a moment, and the boy asked his father, "What is that?" And the dad, who had never seen an elevator before, said, "Son, I have no idea. I have never seen anything like this in my life." Well, they were standing there just kind of in amazement and in awe watching these doors and so on. And finally, a elderly woman in a wheelchair kind of rolled up, and she pushed a button, and these doors opened, and she wheeled into this small room, and then these doors closed, and then these lights above these doors started lighting up and everything, and then they started descending, the lights in the opposite direction, and then those doors opened up again, and off walked this young, beautiful lady. And that father looked at his son and said, "Son, go get your mother." And now, we're not talking about anything like that this morning, I can promise you that. I need to be able to go home and eat someplace. So, but we're going to try to do our best to have some fun. And ladies, you've got to give me this, all right? I have been super hard on the fellas. Every week the topic was for them. Many of you have been quick to affirm that. So give me some grace and lateral here, all right? So here we go. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. If some of you get up and leave right now. All right, here we go. Verse 23. "And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.'" God made Eve for Adam. She was his helpmate. God joined them together in marriage. Harvey and Melissa in our class were married yesterday. And marriage is a picture of a man and a woman coming together and being joined in that relationship for life. But the creation of Eve for Adam is significant. Notice in 1 Corinthians 11:9, "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. God created her for him." Now, beauty, of course, is in the eye of the beholder. The lesson this morning is in no way to make a wife in this room feel like it's supermodel or bust. Okay? That's not the heart. It's simply rather to teach the principle that your husband needs a wife who is doing her best to look the way her husband likes her to look. That she's doing her best to resemble the woman that he married. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to stay eternally young. We certainly are not. My wife was telling me the other day, she said, "Sweetheart, you not only have gray hair on the side of your head, you now have gray hair on the top of your head." And I said, "Well, I'm in the ministry, and I work with a lot of people, it's all your fault." But anyway, it is what it is. And I love it, by the way. And I'm excited for tonight, even if it gives me gray hair. All right? So, it's not that this idea of staying eternally young, but It is also understanding that as we grow old together, and by the way, that's a beautiful thing. Hollywood would like us to think that, well, you enjoy some things for a season and then maybe, you know, go after another model or something of this nature. That's the furthest thing from the truth. The greatest thing in life is growing old with somebody, having all of those memories and journeys, and staying in love while you do it. But just getting older is not an excuse for letting yourself go, so to speak. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, and let me give this premise, and we're going to dive in. I know you're really looking forward to that. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, men, listen to me very carefully. The Bible says, rejoice with the wife of your youth, not rejoice with your eternally youthful wife. Okay? Just listen. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Why is that so important? Because we do live in a culture and a society that there is this undue pressure that, well, you've got to be 60 looking 20 or whatever, you know. And that's not normal. That's not natural. The Bible doesn't say that we are to rejoice only if we have an eternally youthful wife. We are to rejoice with the wife of our youth. We began our relationship in youthful days. I was 20 when I got married. And now we're going through life, and people change in life. I did not have the gray hair that I have right now at the age of 20. And I don't know what that's going to look like in 10 years. If some of you know my dad, it's all gray. It's white. That's what it is. And if you really know my dad, he has very little hair on top. If you know the secret of Pastor Tim Rule, the hair right back here is about 10 inches long. And then he takes it and he covers that. And if you ever are with him swimming or something, you'll know that that's God's honest truth, all right? So I don't know if that's what it's going to be like for me and if we're never going to do water activities, or I don't know, you know. I don't know what's in store here, all right? But as we go through that journey, I know that we are to do our best. So, ladies, with that spirit and heart, let's dive in and understand, how do we exceed in meeting this need? And I believe, number one, it begins with a private attractiveness. A private attractiveness. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Before we get to anything that we can see on the outward, let's talk about what we can't see. And there is a need for a private attractiveness in the heart and soul of every woman in this room. And where does that come from? What is it the result of? I believe it begins letter A. With an attractive heart. An attractive heart. As a lady is walking with God, as she is pursuing a relationship with Him, there is a heart that is being developed that is pleasing to the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Do you have an attractive heart? Is it producing a merry spirit? Is there something that is real on the inside that just flows to the outward extremities that speaks of inner health and inner peace? An attractive heart. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God speaks very courageously about guard that heart. Be careful what's happening on the inside. Because you could have all the outward beauty, but if the heart isn't right, what do you have? There's a reason why a lot of those that their God is that physical appearance are either single or in a destructive relationship, because it's out of balance. It's not according to biblical priority. Far more important than the outward appearance is, how are we doing at the heart level? Is there a private attractiveness? Is there an attractive heart. And sometimes we need to pray, as the psalmist prayed in 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And ladies, I just want to challenge you this morning, make your inner beauty your highest priority. An attractive heart, a heart for God, a pleasant heart, a merry heart, a balanced heart. Keep it with diligence. Ask God for it, but strive for that, an attractive heart. Then letter B, what does this private attractiveness look like? It's an attractive steadfastness, an attractive steadfastness. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That will keep him in perfect peace. An attractive steadfastness. Ladies, sometimes there are women, and none of them go to this class, but sometimes there are women, and it has been said of them, none of them go here, but sometimes there are women, and it has been said of them that they are not always the same. That sometimes they're happy and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're cheerful and sometimes they're not. And sometimes of some women, none of them go here, but sometimes of some women, it has been said that these kinds of things happen within one 24-hour period. I know this is shocking, but this sometimes happens out there. These people we're meeting that have never been here, okay? And some husbands have confessed from the community that they didn't know exactly what they were going to be coming home to on any given day. And it just was always kind of a guessing thing. And you know what husbands need? A wife with a private attractiveness, with an attractive steadfastness. What does that mean? It means that she is held in perfect peace. Why? And Isaiah gives the key. Because her mind is stayed on thee. She's a woman of God. She's in God's word. She prays. She has a walk with God. And because of that, she has a balance. She has peace. She has a peace that passeth all understanding. And so when things are going good, it's good. But when things are not going good, it's still good. Because God is sovereign and God is in control, and she has an inner strength and beauty because of her walk with God. And there's a attractive steadfastness. There's a consistency about who she is. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brother, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And ladies, I want to encourage you, value your walk with God and your heart for Him. Value your consistency as a person. Now listen, we're all going to have bad days. We're all going to maybe say or respond or react to some things in a way that we shouldn't. But strive for that steadfastness and consistency. Then I believe that private attractiveness includes letter C, an attractive loyalty. The Bible says in Matthew 19:6, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. And ladies, I want to encourage you to have an attractive loyalty. Now, if you've been going to our His Design class for any length of time, you've heard me preach, particularly to the men quite strongly, about their commitment. Yesterday when I stood in the gazebo on this campus and Javier and Melissa stood in front of me, as they said, I do till death do us part. I took time before they said that vow. In fact, with Tim and Joel and last weekend in a beautiful setting. And I always in those ceremonies take a moment before we do those vows though. And I explain the importance of a vow that they're making. Because it's not just a vow they're making one to another. It's a vow they're making to God. And God has a lot to say in His Word about people who make vows and don't keep them. Better they never make them. And so the commitment that is necessary, and I've challenged the men for years in that regard, but ladies, I want to challenge you this morning to have that loyalty to your husband, to verbalize that loyalty to your husband. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:11 of the virtuous woman, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Ladies, can I ask you an honest question this morning? Does your husband's heart safely trust in you? Do you have that regarding your husband's heart? Does he trust you? Is there a loyalty there? Is there just kind of a known fact that no matter what, you're going to be okay? Is it already been established that even though you're going to see him like no one else sees him, which means you're going to see all the wrinkles in the armor, that he's still going to be able to come to class with his head held up high and shake hands and not feel ashamed? Because that's been talked about with this group and that prayer group and this book group and this thing and that Facebook post. Is there a trust at the inner core level of that loyalty? That, you know what? We're okay. We're not perfect, but we're okay. My heart can safely trust in her because she is loyal to me. You say, Brother Earl, that is so old school. I know, but it's in the Bible. And the Bible talks about a husband's heart being able to safely trust in her. There's this, and I'm not talking about covering up abuse. That's crazy. If there's something happening in that relationship where someone is being harmed or abused, speak up. If there's something happening where sin is just running rampant, get counseling, get help. I'm not talking about putting stuff under the rug that is destructive. I'm talking about marriage is a lifelong commitment with an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. You know what's going to happen in that relationship? Stuff. And there has to be an understanding that in the arena of marriage, as we're striving to please God, as we're striving to be who He wants us to be, that we can work through some things and the heart does safely trust in her. There's this attractive loyalty. There's this private attractiveness. This woman who walks with God, who is consistent in her spirit, and who is trustworthy. But then secondly, this exceeding of his need would include the physical attractiveness. Now the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, we know that it doesn't profit a lot, but that it does profit. The author, Sam Levinson, said, "Love at first sight is easy to understand. It's when two people have been looking at each other for a lifetime that it becomes a miracle." And that's what we want to see in our class. Two people together for life in a miraculous fashion. So what should wives be mindful of as far as their husband's heart or preferences or desires? And this is the part I really wish I could teach from under the stage. But here we go. It would include letter A, their weight. Now, I plan to spend about 10 seconds on each of these subpoints, okay? Now listen, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a, you know, I'm nobody. But I think most of us would understand that to maintain a healthy, balanced life, there has to be some understanding of what do I eat and how do I exercise, right? I mean, there's every kind of diet known to man. We're going into the first of the year. All kinds of stuff's going to be talked about in this routine and that regimen and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, it's pretty basic. Eat right, exercise. And just having some kind of a rhythm to the care of our body. And by the way, that goes for everyone in this room. And as it pertains to marriage, there should be some sensitivity to, am I caring for my body and am I pleasing to my spouse? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So why is it important that we have health? Well, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So God lives within us and I have but one body to serve God with. So if I don't take care of the body that God has given me, I am limiting what God can do through my life. So I want to care for the temple that God has provided for me, being considerate of his desires in the area maybe of weight. Letter B, of dress. How someone looks or appears. Now, the Bible speaks of modesty. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:9, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." So the Lord would teach that there should be modesty when it comes to what it is that we wear. For a lady, that's drawing the attention to the face or the countenance. And the body is covered modestly in her dress. And the Bible speaks of attire that is not modest. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. We got a lot of stuff going on in the news right now about men being perverted and wicked and so on. And there's a lot of talk from the other side saying, it shouldn't even matter what a woman wears. Men need to do, you know, whatever. Now, should men be godly and pure and moral and men of integrity? Absolutely. And we will preach that for as long as God gives us breath, because it's in the Bible. But do ladies have a responsibility to be modest? Absolutely. Well, I didn't think it had anything to do about attire. I just thought it could be whatever. Well, the Bible evidently thinks it does, because in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10, the reason they knew this woman was a harlot as they looked at her across the way was her attire. She didn't have a sign on. She wasn't standing next to a post, harlots here. But from a distance, the Bible just declared, oh, that's a harlot. Well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, you just tell by what she's wearing. That's a harlot. So what do we understand from God's word? Well, we understand that our dress should be modest. It should be pleasing to the Lord. And it should be pleasing to your husband. Dressing in a way that pleases him. I'm going to move on. Let her see. I have some stuff written down right there that I am not brave enough to say. All right, here we go. There. Letter C. So weight, dress. Letter C, hair and makeup. Now I know this is, I wish I could do this from the hallway, but here we go. Now, ladies, what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. In these personal areas, and they are personal, okay? And it has nothing to do with me or anyone else in this room, but it does have something to do with your husband. Has there been a conversation about appearance? Both sides. Is it pleasing one to the other? Is it being done according to their preferences, their likes, or their dislikes? Do you know that you are attractive to your spouse, and do you care? That's what I'm trying to drive home. If you're pursuing this, whatever the goal may be, and it has no consideration of what your spouse desires, that's wrong. If you're pursuing something that you know they don't want and you're pursuing it anyway, that's wrong. And I don't care how many people and how many magazines and how many pictures and how many websites and how many blogs. If it doesn't work in your marriage, why pursue it? What good is it accomplishing you? It's not. So my encouragement is, it begins with a private attractiveness. But then there is a physical attractiveness. There is an outward attractiveness that should be discussed and done according to the preferences of your spouse. Let's move on. And all God's people said amen to that. Number three, then a public attractiveness. So a private attractiveness, our heart with God, a physical attractiveness, an understanding of spouse preferences, and then a public attractiveness. Proverbs 31:23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So her husband is known in the community, and his wife, if you read about the Proverbs 31 woman, strengthens that image with everything that she does. Now, ladies, how can you strengthen that relationship and his image in the community with what you do? Well, I believe letter 8 includes your communication. Your communication should be pleasant. The Bible says pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Don't gossip. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer is wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. And ladies, I would encourage you not to be negative. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And I just want to encourage you, you have a public attractiveness. And a component of that is just in the way you communicate. And I want to encourage the ladies in our class to be considerate of their communication. Is it pleasant? Is it positive? Is it edifying? And refraining from negative, critical, gossip kind of communication. And I know as Christians, we have our way of doing it. You know, we want to share prayer requests. We want, you know, these kinds of things. And it's all a spiritualization of the same thing, being negative, critical, and gossip. And I just want to encourage the ladies in our class, be attractive by the way you communicate. Keep it pleasant. Keep it positive. I'm not talking about an arena of falsehood. If you've been listening during this series, I agree with the premise that a marriage should be so strong that within the confines of that marriage, you can speak the truth in love. I agree with that. And I think you should. Okay? But I think you should have some discernment. If every time that I spoke with Susanna, I was negative and critical, you know what would happen over time? She wouldn't want to speak with me. And if I'm not careful, you know what would happen over time? She would find someone else she likes to speak with. And if I'm not careful over time, that could lead to some really big problems. And I can point at her all day and say, I can't believe you did that. But the reality is, well, I point at her, three fingers are pointing squarely back at me. Because you know what I have done? I've communicated poorly. And by being so negative and so critical all the time, I've just driven her away. There's a public attractiveness, and a big component of that is communication, communicating positively and uplifting and edifying. But it includes, letter B, your reputation. Ladies, as you are in marriage, two becoming one. We read that in Genesis as our text this morning. What does that mean? It means it's no longer his and hers, it's ours, right? Okay, so let's deduce from that a very simple principle. Everything I do reflects on Susanna, and everything Susanna does reflects on me, period. We do not have separate reputations. We have a reputation together. Everything speaks. And my challenge to the couples in this class is to consider that when you consider your marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doings. And we challenge our children, be careful what you're out there doing because you're going to be known by that. Well, so are we. And not only are we going to be known by that, our spouse will be known by that. So ladies, can I ask you a question? If your husband was only known by the way you represent or portray him to be, what would that look like? Just through social media? Through conversations in the workplace? Through whatever? What does that look like? Is he well known in the gates? Or does he come in the back gate? Because how you behave and how you portray that has much to do with that reputation. And it's so important to understand marriage is a gift from God. And we need to be careful how we steward that relationship. And then letter C, this would include your execution. Now, I'm not talking about taking your husband's life or mine after this lesson, all right? But in Proverbs 13:12, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And ladies, I want to encourage you in your public attractiveness to be known as someone who gets the job done. That when something is needed, when something is required, when something is agreed upon, when something is verbalized that it will be done, that indeed it is done. And ladies, I believe that most men would say, as I think of what I need in a wife, near the top of the list, and it varies for every man in the room, would be an attractive spouse. Well, what does that mean? It's a private attractiveness, a heart for God, a consistency of spirit, a balance. It's a physical attractiveness. It's an understanding of, am I pleasing to him, sir? Are we pleasing to her? And it's living in that reality and encouraging and working one with the other. But then it is a public attractiveness. It's understanding that what I say, how I live, and what I do speaks. And in the confines of marriage, it just doesn't speak about me. It speaks about us. And so everything we say, everything we do, who we truly are, speaks to the essence of that. And we just want to be careful that it's attractive. I'm not talking about in the phony baloney Hollywood way. I'm talking about according to God. Does God look at it and see it to be authentic, attractive, real, genuine, in a way that pleases, honors, and glorifies Him? That needs to be our pursuit. Now, in your bulletin this morning, we have a discussion handout, and it's optional, whatever you want to do, but on it, I've got three, and if you want to burn it, that's okay too, but I've got three questions on here for him, I've got three questions on here for her, and three to do together. Now, what's been the point of these discussion questions as it pertains to the lessons? Very simple, this is what we've been trying to do for 11 weeks in a row. Take the lesson home. That's all we're trying to do. We can sit in here, we can study God's Word, we can talk about how it applies to marriage, and we can leave here the very same, changing nothing. And honestly, that's a waste of time. Or we can gather in here, study God's Word, understand His heart as it pertains to our marriage, and then we can go home and we can talk about it. And say, okay, how does this apply to us? How are we doing in this area? And it might be an affirmation that you're doing amazing, and we'll have you teach next Sunday, all right? It might be, you know what, we're doing really good, but this one area, we can make a slight adjustment and be doing even better. It might be an exposing of the fact that, you know, this is an area we're really not doing well. And so I'm glad now we have the platform to talk about it and then providing the pathway forward to make it better. That's the whole idea. So I want to encourage you this week, take the lesson home. It might be this form. It might be in some other way that you do it. But let's talk about it and ask God to help us. And I'm excited next week to come together and begin to draw the net. How do we sustain in exceeding the needs of our spouse? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope that you'll be here. And then I'm so excited about tonight. Meeting in that tournament 5, going over to the hangar afterwards. We've got a delicious meal. We've got games and fun. We're just going to have a good time. And come tonight ready to just enjoy a good evening of food and fellowship and fun together. And thank you for being here today. Dear Father, we love you and we thank you for your precious word. Lord, thank you for our class. I love our His Design class. I love every person in this room. I love getting together. I love studying your word. I love being challenged. And Lord, through this series, we've looked at some really obvious things and we've looked at some kind of uncomfortable things. But we're looking at real stuff that we need to know and address and talk about so that we can be strong at the core as husbands and wives, exceeding in meeting the needs of our spouse and providing good examples for the generation to follow after. So Lord, help us to take this lesson home, apply it to our lives and relationship, and to grow stronger as a result. Bring us back safely tonight for our Christmas party. I pray that that would just be a wonderful, enjoyable time together. And then next Sunday as we come and we begin to wrap up this series, that you would help in our hearts to gain what is necessary to sustain in exceeding the needs of our spouse. And we promise to praise and to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.